audio, and that's all working. We'll shrink that and shrink that, and we'll put up the study, which is right here, I believe.
Yep, there it is.
And there we are.
We're working.
One of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBemashiach. Here we are, the first time in our congregation in Hole in Wall, Tennessee. And this is 27 South, right? Maple Street, Hole in Wall. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And it's nice that you're here. Let's ask God to bless and anoint this study today. And may God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you, Lord and God, first for forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Messiah, the Word of God made flesh. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this Sabbath, this study today, this new congregation. May God bless every one of you. May God heal you today and strengthen you. May God be with you. May God encourage us and give us more faith and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and the fear of God. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint everything that's done today. Put a wall of fire around about us. Caution us from any evil. Send your angels, Lord and God, knowing that you see us, you hear us, you watch us, and you protect us. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this Shabbat. Bless the study. Bless the reading of your word, the conversations. We pray that you'll even bless the food we eat and the singing later. Let everything be to the glory of the living God. And may God bless you today and be with you and teach you something new that maybe you didn't know or didn't remember. Heavenly Father, bless everyone in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you. Well, this is our first study, and it's January 30th, 2016. Only 2 days left to this month, which is like the fastest January I think I ever lived. I don't remember what happened. And there's what Janus means. You guys all see that correctly? I'm sure you see that. However, we're in the 11th month of God, the 19th day of Shavat. And that's found in Zechariah 1:7. Okay? The 19th day. So even God's month is flying by. Of course, you guys all know, you people, there's no new guests here today, but you guys all know my ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up things maybe you're not familiar with. My server is down. The modem that we just got from Charter is bad, so we're going to have a new one on Tuesday, Lord willing. And we'll have the server back up, and the computer will be running again. You'll be able to read the studies, hear them, watch them, and download them on your MP3 players. I'm sorry we can't be on Pow Talk today, so there's no streaming. Of course, I'd always like to come in a more personal manner for the people that will be listening to this in the future. There's a link there. You can always contact me. And here it is. We just moved into our new building, 27 South Maple Street. Just wanted to double-check that address. Hole in Wall, Tennessee, 38462. 38462. You can always call me. Come and join us, please. We stopped following the Torah portions. We found out they're made up by rabbis, and they did from Judaism. They make up the portions. They purposely leave out chapters like Isaiah 53 about the Messiah. That's why we stopped reading that. Of course, reading it Bible is okay, but make sure you read the whole Bible. We study the Law and the Prophets every Sabbath, just like they did in the book of Acts right there. We could see that even in Acts 13, 14, that they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and they sat down. We could see after the reading of the Law and the Prophets, right in verse 15, notice that they didn't say they read the letters and the Gospels. They read the Law and the Prophets, right? And this is the book of Acts after the resurrection, okay? And, of course, we know that Messiah was preached every Sabbath day, you know, in the synagogues right there, just like we... Yeah, Moses of old time had in every city preached him, the Messiah, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. So they preached about the Messiah, and then we find out that some people, even though they went into the synagogue every Sabbath, they weren't listening too well. They actually condemned him, too, because they didn't really listen. Even Yeshua went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and read the book of Isaiah. And here's that verse I was telling you right here. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, they didn't recognize the Messiah, Nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they are fulfilled in condemning him. So they didn't even know that this was all about the Messiah. Isn't that sad? So it's people that went there, and who knows what the devil made their minds fly to or wherever. They weren't concentrating. And even the Gentiles, after the Jews who were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that the word of God might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And it says the next day almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. Isn't that amazing? So there's no certain distances or certain any of that stuff you might have heard of, but everywhere they came to hear the word of God on the Shabbat. Notice it doesn't say they came on the first day of the week. Sabbath is always the seventh day. Today's subject, of course you guys might have be familiar with this. I was trying to do a subject maybe for some guests, but I'll go over this briefly. We're supposed to be new creatures, born again, converted unto the God of Israel, which is really important. What I found over the years, which is a lot of people come to the Torah mindset, but I still don't even know if they ever repented or, if they ever made a covenant with the God of Israel or were converted. They just read the Torah portion and go home. Even David said, he will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto God. In the book of Matthew, Yeshua says, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And out here in Hohenwald, I found a lot of people don't even believe in the kingdom of heaven. For some reason, they stop short. They go, they believe in the kingdom, but they think it's going to be on the earth somewhere. No, there's a kingdom of heaven. And I did a whole study on that and gave it to them. So whoso therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So great in the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't it say that? You know, you would think that brother Peter, who's Simon, he was an apostle and a disciple, that he was really with God, but Satan wanted to sift him as wheat, you know. Satan wanted to really do Peter in. But Yeshua said that he's going to pray. He prayed for him that his faith fail not. And when he is converted, strengthen thy brethren. Because he knew he was going to deny the Lord three times. He knew he was going to deny him three times. So he wasn't really fully converted. In the book of James, the letter to James, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And that's what we're all about, is trying to convert people to the truth, because there's so much fallacy abounding out there. I heard new doctrines out here in Hohenwald I never heard before. Matter of fact, I heard the biggest miscomprehension that I ever heard before in my life out here when they read the scriptures. I don't know if they know how to read. Their reading comprehension is so off. Yeshua says, repent you therefore and be converted. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. That's probably the most important thing, that your sins are blotted out. I can't think of anything more important than that. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yehovah, and he, the Father, shall send Yeshua, the Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. And that's why Messiah hasn't come back yet, because the restitution of all things hasn't been completed, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And Yeshua goes to, he always was around the Pharisees, and the Pharisees always, some of them they came to see him at night. You know, one of these guys was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Yeshua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means master. I mean, and he knew that he was a teacher sent from God. Because no man can do the miracles that Yeshua did except God be with him, of course. Nicodemus recognized that. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he was reasoning in the carnal way when Yeshua was talking in the spiritual way. Yeshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So that's what it's all about, entering into the kingdom of God. And that's why Satan fights so. I'm realizing more and more as I'm even out here, the kingdom of God is your reward. And Satan's trying to discourage or getting everyone away from it. There's no more kingdom of heaven. Isn't that weird? I personally believe in all the scriptures because all the scriptures have to agree when you read them. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So don't marvel that I say unto you, you must be born again. You have to start all over again as a child. And I was watching the wind today because I always think of the wind. When I watch the wind, I think of this verse. The wind blows where it listed, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. And I was thinking about that this morning. I was watching the wind. I was thinking, I couldn't tell where it was coming from, but it was everywhere. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, again, back down to the carnal way of looking at things, how can these things be? Yeshua said unto him, you're supposed to be your master, a ruler of Israel, and you don't know these things? So Nicodemus had to learn some new things there. And I'm sure he did, because he was a man that was seeking, really, the God of Israel. Brother Peter says, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And that's what we like to do. And that's how you purify your soul, by obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, with the unfeigned, genuine love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How do you do that? Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptibility by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, and of course you're going to hear me making a lot of mention of being out here in Hole in Wall. I can see how the devil has really caused such a big division out the believers out here. Or some pseudo-believers, now that I'm starting to see. They believe in such amazing doctrines. Paul tells the Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Which some people think they could sin and break the Sabbath, and then next week keep the Sabbath. Like this week they can go to work, and next week they could keep the Sabbath. Like it's no big deal. That grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Yeshua the Messiah, were baptized into his death? Of course. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So everything has to be new. That's something that's really important. There could be no traces of anything from the past. You have to be new. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the Torah, how that the law had dominion over a man as long as he lives, right? The woman which had a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. These are people of God, of course, we're talking about. But if a husband be dead, she's freed from the law, from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's really important. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law, and this is the law of sacrifices, by the body of Messiah. Now he died for us, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, before we knew Messiah and the Word of God, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Isn't that terrible? Even when we were in our false religions, we were doing the same thing. We were actually bringing forth fruit unto death because we were convincing people to be in false religions and false understanding of Scripture and heresies, which, you know, heresy, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. But now we are delivered from the law of sacrifice, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, which is the spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. In other words, the Levitical priesthood and everything that had happened there. So it's a good idea, Paul tells the Corinthians, and I'm so happy we got all these letters because I'd like putting all these little pieces together. So we could actually purge out there for the old leaven, and that you may be a new lump. So we're all new lumps. And sometimes I got new bumps. As you are unleavened, for even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Amen. Some people, you know, today, like, they believe in the Messiah. And some people say they even believe in Yeshua. But then again, you find out they don't believe he's the Word of God made flesh. They don't believe he's God. They don't believe that, they think he's just a man, a nice person. Some people think he's a prophet. I mean, there's so many different, that Satan has really confused everything. Paul tells the Galatians, for in Yeshua the Messiah, neither circumcision, being a Jew, avails anything, or being a Gentile, but both people have to repent and become a new creature. That's really important. And, of course, Messiah has quickened us. And this is, Paul writes to the Ephesians. He had quickened, he says, and you had he quickened, made alive, you know, in the spirit, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And that, I could definitely see that, according to the prince of the power of the air. We know who that is, the spirit. And Satan is a spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's Hasatan, yeah. The devil, in plain English. Among whom, Hasatan, also, we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had made us alive in the Spirit of God, quickened us together with Messiah. For by grace we're saved. And you guys all know what grace is, that undeserved favor, the sacrifice of Messiah, you know, his body that was broken for us. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Yeshua the Messiah. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Yeshua the Messiah. For by grace we are saved. Amen. We're not like the Catholics that are going to be saved one day, or these other people, but we're saved right now because we keep God's commandments, and it's through faith. And that faith is in the Messiah's blood, that we have forgiveness of sins. And obviously it's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, which is the sacrifice of the body of Messiah, this undeserved favor, you know, really important. And obviously not of works that we can do, you know, how good we are, lest anybody should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Yeshua the Messiah unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. His commandments. That's what he ordained in the past, right? Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles of the nations in time past, you Ephesians, who are called uncircumcision, right? By that which is called circumcision, the Jews, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, imagine that back then. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So these Ephesians, obviously they had no knowledge of anything of God or the God of Israel. And it says, but now in Yeshua the Messiah, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah. Amen. And that's the difference with people that say they believe in the Messiah, Yeshua. You have to believe he's the sacrifice that he shed his blood for us that was foretold in the book of Isaiah 53 and many other places. For he's our peace who had made both one, the Jew and Gentile, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, you know, that division, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, both Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. So in the past, you know, there was no, when I say the past, I'm talking about in the days of the Torah, there was no going to witness to the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites. Now, one of them could always come and repent, but there was no, ministry of going out and witnessing to the nations at that time until Apostle Paul got his ministry. So that's why Paul is explaining this all to them. He says that Messiah might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you, the Gentiles, the nations, who were far off, you were far off, and to them that were nigh, the Jews. For through him, through the Messiah, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you Gentiles are no more strangers and foreigners, of course not, but now you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Yeshua, the Messiah himself, being the chief cornerstone. And we should all know where it says that. In Psalms 118:22, the stone, which is the Messiah, which the builders, the rulers, the leaders, the scribes, and you know the Pharisees, whoever else was at that time, refused, has become the head of the corner. And there it is right there in Hebrew, Evan, Ma'asu, Habonim, Ha, Yata, Le, Rosh, Pina. He's the head of the corner, yeah.
Headstone
of the corner. And this is all, I think Peter is saying this right here in the book of Acts. He says, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, the Messiah, Yeshua, doth this man stand before you whole. Peter healed a person there. And he says, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And this is really important to remember. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So you can't believe in any other religion, any other God, any other philosophy. Only through the Messiah is salvation. Back to Ephesians 2, in case you forgot. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in Jehovah. And I was trying to explain this to people, I think two studies ago, and people out here in Hole in Wall. Messiah is not coming back to build a temple in Jerusalem. He's not coming back as a carpenter, as a man, to go hammer up a temple. He's coming back as God Almighty. But the temple that Yeshua is building, and even building today, a holy temple in Yehovah, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. It says, in whom ye are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So we're talking about a spiritual now. Even though we're temples of God, we're in this spiritual house of God, this kingdom, because Messiah is the king right now of the kingdom, and we're in it. Paul tells the Ephesians, this I say therefore and testify in Yehovah, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. And that's something we got to pray about. We don't want blindness of our hearts. Who being past feeling have given us themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Messiah, if so be you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yeshua. And this is really important to understand. And I really wish, I pray God will bring people here to hear these messages, because they definitely need to hear these. Because the doctrines out here are so, they're reading comprehension, and I don't know, I don't feel the spirit in them at all. You know what's really sad? One of the people told me, while I was talking to him, he said, ever since he's been out here, and with all the different people he met, he never felt the spirit. And I thought, and I don't know what he thinks he's supposed to feel, but at the same time, I definitely don't sense the spirit out. I don't sense it either. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So we can't have the same conversation as the old man. Our thoughts can't be the old thoughts. Our verbiage can't be the old verbiage. Our actions can't be the old actions. We have to be a new creature, in and out. That you put off the old former conversation to the old person who is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new person. And everyone should recognize that you're new. You should be recognizable that, gosh, you changed, you're new. If people don't say that to you, then you probably didn't change. It says, so you got to put on the new person, which is after God had created righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, and Paul must have encountered a lot of people lying out there, because lying must entail things that maybe we don't picture as lying today, because some people with their heresies are lying. Some people with false doctrine are lying. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Amen. No, you could be angry at the devil and people that are doing wrong, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you get angry at a brother or sister, always try to make amends before the sun goes down, because you might meet the Lord before you wake up in his presence, not on this planet. Let them that stole steal no more. Definitely. I mean, why would you want to steal? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. You know, people try to get you to lie, and people try to get you to steal. So you got to be real careful. And you're supposed to let no, that means no, corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that you may minister grace unto the hearers, right? And definitely don't grieve not the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Supposed to let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, you know. And supposed to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Messiah's sake forgave us. Paul tells the Colossians, he says, if you be risen with Messiah, what are you supposed to seek? You're supposed to seek those things that are above, where Messiah sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And that's really important. For we're dead, and our life is hid with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who's our life, shall appear, and he's going to appear one day, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. So we have to actually mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, spiritually and physically. Uncleanness of any kind. Inordinate affection, of course. Evil concupiscence. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For the which things sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Don't be angry, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Here he says it again. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And that's really important. And you have put on the new person, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Messiah is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God. So it's like you have to almost like put on holiness, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now, if any person have a quarrel against any, even as Messiah forgave you, so also you should forgive them. And above all, above everything, put on charity, which is the giving of yourself in love, the keeping of the commandments and being a great testimony before your brothers and sisters, and which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace, the shalom of God, rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Every time I read that one body, my mind always flashes when we went to Israel many years ago. Even the messianics out there, such a mess, they thought there was two bodies. And, you know, Jews and Gentiles, which is ridiculous. It's one body. We're supposed to let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly. So how much are you supposed to read? A couple of verses a week? No. You're supposed to let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yehovah. Matter of fact, whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yeshua, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So in the name of Yeshua, we just thank God the Father. Amen. Same message is by Peter. Notice how all these people of God all have the same message, whether it be Saul, Peter, James, Jude. Wherefore lay aside all malice. Peter says the same thing Paul was saying. Get rid of malice. Get rid of guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, supposed to be newborn, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that Jehovah is gracious. And we go to the book of Revelation. We see there's even going to be a new song. Oh, would you shut that door flung open there? Could you shut that? The wind's blowing. There's a new song, and a new name. Revelation 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And guess what? There was no man in heaven, men in heaven. How about that? What are they doing there? I thought there was, people say there's no people in heaven. It says there was no man in heaven. In other words, the people that can do this, and there was no man on earth, and there was no man even under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John wept much. He was so sad because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look. He couldn't even look thereon. John was weeping. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Yehudah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Wow. That's power. And guess what? He says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, right in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts, which one day we'll get to see who they are, and we'll guess we'll meet the midst of the elders, we'll meet them too, there was a lamb. Just think, a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. seven spirits sent forth into all the earth. And this lamb came and he took the book out of the right hand that sat of the Father that sat upon the throne. Wow. Could you imagine that? And he had, when he had taken the book, guess what? The four beasts and the 24 elders, they just fell down before the lamb. Wow. Can you try to picture all this? Having everyone harps and golden vials full of odors, which are our prayers, the prayers of saints. So make sure you pray a lot so that your prayers can be in there. And guess what? And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, because you were slain, and you and hast redeemed us to God by your blood, Messiah, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And as you've made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I hope that's the new Jerusalem, the new earth. Revelation says, He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, which don't even exist anymore, the seven churches that were in Asia Minor. To anyone who overcomes, God's going to give you to eat of the hidden manna. And we'll give, he's going to give him a white stone. So you're going to get to eat of hidden manna and a white stone. And in the stone, in this white stone, there's going to be a new name written for you, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. And I was going to do this for people that were coming today, because you guys already know this. This is all about a new creature, new body, new spirit, being born again. Nouns and adjectives agree in gender in Hebrew. And it's supposed to be one R there. New is an adjective, and renew is a verb. That's all you got to remember. So if you know a little bit about grammar, new in Hebrew is a adjective, and renew is a verb. And I looked it up again, chadash, which is 52 times as new, a new thing, and chadesh, which is renew, 10 times. Okay? This is in the Bible, but some people can't get this in their brain. The only reason I do this is because some people think it's a renewed covenant when it's supposed to be a new covenant.
It is.
Yes. And of course, we all know this in Jeremiah 31 and 32, because it's not according to the covenant he made with the fathers. It's a new covenant. And you guys know all this. I'm not going to read it all to you. And Brother Saul quotes the same thing, who's known as Paul. He says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8 and verse 9, right? And verse 10 and verse 11. So if you read those verses, you'll know, first of all, what it's a new covenant. It's not renewed, because renewed is a verb. It's a new covenant. It's a brith hadashah. It's a new covenant. And you'll find out who the new covenant was given to, and you'll find out what the new covenant is. It's not letters and it's not books. So it's that simple. But you guys all know this in my congregation, but most people that I meet, they didn't even get to square one yet because they can't get past renewed covenant. Isn't that weird? So I know we take a lot of things for granted in this congregation. You know, you might think, well, you know, I heard that so many times. Most people out there haven't heard any of this. It's really amazing. Anyway, so everything's new that I'm talking about today. You have to be a new creature, new body. He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. So there's a temple in heaven. It says, I'll make a temple in heaven. I'll make you a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. So I guess you're going to be there, huh? And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. So we have this new Jerusalem going to come out of heaven where there's a temple, but in New Jerusalem, there's no need of a temple because the Lord God is the temple of it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Isn't that amazing? So there's still a temple in heaven. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song, before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In their mouth was found no guile, no deceit. They are without fault before the throne of God. So we'll get to meet them too. We've got a lot of people to meet, besides God himself, of course. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, which some people still don't, they think it's going to be renewed. Of course, I didn't put down Peter where it says, heaven and earth, everything's going to melt with a fervent heat, because you guys all know this. And the earth is going to be dissolved and the works that they're in. But in the book of Isaiah, it says, Shemayim Chadashim V'ha'aretz Chadashah. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. So this thing, everything on this planet, you're not even going to remember. It's not even going to, your mind's not even going to be able to even have time to think about any of this stuff. There's going to be so many new things when we get to heaven. We'll be with God and then end up in this new Jerusalem, whatever that means. Ha Hashemayim, Ha Hadashim, V'Haaretz, Ha Hadashah. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yehovah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yehovah. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me. These are spiritual carcasses. Because you know why? Their worm, their soul is not going to die. Neither shall the fire be quenched. And they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. This is spiritual flesh. John says he saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. It's not renewed, everyone. It's new. And there was no more sea, no more oceans. That's over. And I, John, Yohanan, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I beheld, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God is actually going to dwell with them, and they're going to be his people, and God himself, that's just amazing to think of, God himself is going to be with them and be their God, and God's going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. I don't know, that could be many kind of tears. Probably mine would be tears of regret that you didn't do more, or tears of who knows what, sadness and things that happened to you in your life and things that occurred. But there'll be many tears. They'll all be wiped away. I always wish I could do more. I just don't know what to do anymore on this planet because everybody I talk to, it's almost like a contending, debating contest. They don't even sit and I say, can't we sit down in a nice manner and go over scripture and talk it over? But so far, we haven't got a chance to do that. But no, this is our first service here, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. God's going to wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There's going to be no more pain. No more pain. You know why? Because those are called former things, and they're going to be passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said this, so I trust him. Behold, I make all things new, not renewed. I make them all new. And he said unto me, John, write. You know why? Because these words are true and faithful. So be born again. Be born from above. And Shabbat Shalom. This is a short service today. I don't know how long I've just been. Oh, I've been speaking for about an hour, maybe. Probably a little less than an hour. But I'm happy that you are here today. And I hope you got something out of this study. Did you enjoy the study a little bit? Yeah, being converted and being a new creature is really important, because I definitely recognize a lot of people just do read the Torah portion and they've never been converted or born again. They still have heresies, and which is lying, basically. And they carry tails, and who knows what they do. Some people think you could go out there and do fornication and adultery and just join the Messiah again, even if you sin willfully. That's ridiculous. Some people think you could do anything, break the Sabbath, and next week keep it. You got me. I don't understand where they get that in the Bible. Anyway, and those are the people that think they are Torah observant.
Which is a smaller group, better than the population.
Yeah.
Than anybody.
But anyway, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this reading today. Let us all be converted in our minds and hearts and souls. Let us all be as children, come to you, become as a child. Let us all be born again of the Spirit of God and of the water. And I just thank and praise you, Lord and God, for this day, this Shabbat. May God bless you today, heal you, touch you, and be with you, and comfort you, and bring us back together, Father, again soon, to worship you in spirit and truth. And may God bless everything for the rest of the Shabbat and the rest of our lives. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.